Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Matthew Cray.
Hello and welcome into Straight Talk here live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Straight Talk brought to you by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. My name's Matthew Cray, pinch hitting for Manning Kimmel, who is off having the time of his life. In today with us is Katie Durkee with NAMI Piedmont of York County. That's the National Association of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's why we have her here today to inform us about all of that. Katie, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. And I cover York County, but we also are in Chester and Lancaster.
Chester and Lancaster as well. All counties that we reach.
Yes.
Now, Katie, you have an interesting accent. Tell everybody where you're originally from.
I am originally born and bred in Britain. I moved here when I was 26, and I'm not going to tell you how long I've been here.
All right, but you've been here long enough. And go a little bit deeper there. Tell us a little bit about your story, who Katie Durkee is.
Okay. So, well, we're talking about mental health today, so that's kind of where I'll bring this in from and why I work for NAMI Piedmont Tri-County. I came to NAMI Piedmont as a volunteer because I have, in my life, experienced some disruption in my mental health. I had anorexia for a very long time. And as I got older, I managed to get through life, and I moved across the world and did what I needed to do. And I did get into recovery. And so I live in recovery from an eating disorder. But along the way, I lost my brother to suicide. I also lost my father-in-law to suicide. And then in my family, I manage mental health for other people that live with me. So it's a big deal in my house.
So at what point in your life did you decide, man, this is something I want to embrace and do something about?
I think I've always been a bit of an accidental advocate. It's kind of one of those things that I gravitate towards. My kids call me a social justice warrior, and I don't think they mean it as a compliment, but that's okay. When I was in Arizona, I worked at the homeless shelter. I volunteer a lot. I've always volunteered in the community. I volunteered with NAMI before I took the position with them. I just feel like if we can make a difference to people, it actually is cathartic for me as well. So it helps me heal and helps me keep going.
And explain how you specifically got involved with NAMI.
So originally I was looking for a way to help somebody in my family, and they have an education class called the Basics class, and that teaches you how, it's basically a 101 class for when you have a child with a mental illness. And so it teaches you how to get through school, it teaches you how to build IEPs and 504s, it teaches you the language to use, it teaches you communication skills, how to get Medicaid, how to get Medicare, how to keep medical records, what to do in an emergency. It's a very comprehensive class. And so I took that class with my husband, and we loved that class. We thought it was brilliant. And so I was like, why isn't everybody doing this? Everybody should be doing this class. And so when they asked me to be a teacher for that class as a volunteer, I said, absolutely, 100% totally on board. So I started volunteering for that. And then they asked me to start speaking to high school students in their End in the Silence program. So I started doing that. And I do the slideshow, the presentation piece about warning signs and what to expect, what to look for, what you can do, how to get into recovery. And then there's a young adult speaker who speaks with us. So I do a lot of that in high schools with the End in the Silence program through NAMI South Carolina. And then when the job opened up for the marketing and outreach coordinator for York County, they asked me if I would like to do it, and I jumped in with both feet.
Very cool. And for those whose first introduction to NAMI is the people listening to this show, they know it deals with mentally illness. So explain a little bit more about what NAMI is.
So NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We're a national organization, so we're in every state in the union. we actually, so there's the NAMI National, and then there's the NAMI State organizations, and then they're separated into affiliations, and we cover Lancaster, Chester, and York County. And so we are the largest grassroots organization dedicated to advocating for mental illness and the people who love people with mental illness for advocacy, education, and awareness.
Very cool. Very well.
So we're coming out of a pandemic right now, yes. And there's still kind of some lingering effects. Things still aren't quite back to normal, but they're very close. They're as normal as they have been in a while. You guys deal with mental illness. What was the impact that COVID had on people in, whether it's nationwide or South Carolina, when it comes to mental illness?
Yeah, and so, well, there's a lot of data being collected right now by different organizations on the actual effect on mental illness for the last year, so from 2020, the whole of 2020. So we know that cases of mental illness are rising, health screenings are rising. I had talked to you before. We have some figures with us.
Yes, go through those.
Yeah, this is a Mental Health America report, and they have just put this report out a few months ago. But their data is reporting that more than 500,000 people have reported signs of anxiety and depression. In September, they were reporting the highest rate of severity since the start of the pandemic, and anxiety screenings were up 634%. And depression screens were up 873%. So I think we don't really need to talk about it. It's obvious that it's been very impactful on people's mental health. And I think that it's important to know that when we have a mental illness, a lot of people don't reach out. It takes an average of 8 to 12 years to get a diagnosis because people are so frightened of that stigma. They're so frightened of being labeled. They're so frightened of medications. They're so frightened of people being judgmental that they hide that disorder. You know, it's not something that you can see, so people will try and hide it. And so we know that 50% of people with a mental illness are not getting any help. And so these figures, I think, really reflect the fact that it became a pandemic in itself for mental illness.
And what exactly was it about the pandemic that made those numbers skyrocket?
It's very difficult when you're isolated and alone and by yourself and stuck in a house. If you're going to work, you're distracted. If you're going to school, you're distracted. If there are other people around you pushing you forwards, it's a little easier to push through these things sometimes. But when you are facing a very uncertain future, maybe you lost your job or you went onto the computer full-time for school, you find it very difficult to self-pace, you relied on individualized education plans to get you through school, and now that's been pulled away, that wasn't available during the pandemic. You know, if you're isolated in your house with nothing but the cat or nobody, it can be very impactful on our mental health regardless of whether we have a mental health condition or not. And so I think that that's really brought that to the forefront.
Right. Now, I like to consider myself the average person with my knowledge. I'm not super smart, you know, I'm right there in the middle. So I think this is a fair question for not just me, but others. What is the difference between someone who is anxious and someone who has anxiety and someone who is sad and someone who is depressed?
Right. So I'm glad you asked me that. So anxiety is a disorder. Anxiousness is something that I think we all have. I think it's that nerve-sighted, my kids call it. They're nervous, but they're excited. So they're getting on a roller coaster. That causes anxiety, but it's a good anxiety. It's exciting. You know, you're getting a new job or you're starting a new job or it's a new day at school or it's a new class. It's something new. We have that anxiousness. It's appropriate. It should be, you know, it should be there. It's when it impacts your activities of daily living. It's when it impacts you in the grocery store. You're buying groceries and suddenly you have a panic attack from nowhere. You're trying to go into school and you physically can't walk through the doors because of the dread and the paranoia and the anxiousness. That's an anxiety disorder, and that's going to cause physical symptoms. It's going to cause stomach aches and nauseousness, and anxiousness is a good thing. It's an excited thing. And then sadness and depression, if we're sad, that's appropriate. If I lost my dog, which I did several months ago, I was very sad for more than a few weeks. I was very, very sad, but I wasn't depressed. Depression is more keeping you in bed. You can't get out of bed. Everything hurts. You ache. You maybe you hallucinate. You have very sad thoughts. You have very morbid thoughts. It's an all-encompassing situation that stops you doing the activities of daily living that you would be able to without that. So if I'm sad, I can still go to work. I can still go to school. If I have depression, there's a really good chance I'm not going to be able to go to work. I'm not going to be able to go to school. And that's the difference.
So really a lot of this boils down to how much the individual can control their situation when they're in that space.
Right. Depression is something that you really can't control. You can't buck up and get out of depression, right? You can't will yourself to be happier. You can't with anxiety, you can't stop that panic attack, that heart palpitation, the sweating, the feeling of nauseousness, the anxiety of walking into a room. You can't control that. If you're anxious, you can say, you know what? This is a little bit kind of, my tummy's got like butterflies in it. I don't feel so great, but I'm still going to do this. If I have anxiety disorder, I'm not going to be able to just push through that and make that work for me. But anxious, I'm going to be able to do that. So.
Right. And when we look at health, I think there's the physical side and the mental side. And so I'll give the example of someone who is losing weight. They may have be up there with their weight and they decide they're going to make a change and they go work out and it feels good. What steps do people with mental illnesses take to try and not remedy, but feel better?
Get into recovery.
Yes,
we call it
you.
Getting into recovery.
Okay.
And it is possible to get into recovery, of course, because millions of people do it every day. You need to take the first step, and quite often that means somebody needs to help you. Somebody needs to hold out a hand and help you step up into that first step. Because when you're feeling very depressed, or if you have schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder, the whole world can feel very alien. It can feel like you don't fit, you don't belong, people don't like you. It's a very different feeling. And so sometimes it's going to take somebody to hold out their hand and say, walk with me, and then we will get you to the first step. And the first step is usually the primary care doctor. And once we get to the primary care doctor, then we decide if a psychiatrist is necessary or a psychologist. And then we'll move through those steps. And sometimes somebody needs to go inpatient into the hospital to get stabilized, and then we move on from there. But that's what NAMI's role is in the community, to provide those resources.
I've heard a lot about mental health in the past year, probably because of the pandemic. Why is it that it took so long for mental health to move to the forefront of the discussion, whereas physical health has been there all along?
It's interesting, isn't it? It's a very interesting paradigm because, with physical health, people recognize that if you have a broken leg, you need a doctor to help you. It needs to be set. You need to wear a cast. It's going to be weeks for you to recover. If you have diabetes, people understand that that's a lifelong management on that for many people if it's type 1 diabetes. If you have asthma, nobody questions you needing an inhaler. But for some reason, with mental illness, because it's invisible and people can't see it and they can't see the physical manifestation of it, they think that it's something that you can control. We call it a behavioral disorder, right? And it's not a behavioral disorder. That is the symptoms of the disorder. And so I can't breathe. You can see me struggling for breath. That's going to be asthma. If I'm acting out at school, if I'm kicking over chairs and I'm 6 years old and I'm, hiding under desks and ripping up paper, we're going to treat that like a behavioral problem, when in fact it could be a mental health problem. And so we have to know that mental health and physical health need to be on the same plane. We call it mental health parity. There's a Mental Health Parity Act, and you are supposed to treat mental illness the way that you treat physical illnesses. But of course, we have to change the minds of everybody in the community as well.
I know that social media gets a bad rap when it comes to these things with mental health. When I look at those numbers that you gave me, I might think, a lot of that is because people were isolated, they were on social media, but as we talked about before the show, it can be both a gift and a curse.
Right.
In what way?
So we've seen all the news reports of people bullying people on social media. We've seen suicides from bullying on social media. We've seen suicides from people being coerced and pushed on social media. And there is definitely that very dark side of social media. The internet is a very dark place if you go looking for that. But there are also some fantastic resources on the internet. So there are many websites set up. The Trevor Project is one of them, for the LGBTQIA OKA Plus community. There is a community called OK to Talk, and that's, you can find teenagers and adolescents talking on that. There's very specific groups on Facebook that you can join that will give you support, will talk you through, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're really having a hard time. Chances are good there's somebody else there to help you struggle through it. And so even though social media is seen as a bad thing, it can actually be very beneficial to a lot of people, especially when we're trying to reach out at odd hours of the day and night, which is often when our mental health is at its worst.
Absolutely. And I think with social media, you know, it can go so far with helping, and really, unless you can get that authentic in-person social interaction, you know, it doesn't feel as authenticated. And that's something you guys are looking to do. And we're actually going to take our mid-program break first. But when we come back, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of what we really came here to talk about. And that's a new center you guys have. But for now, I'll remind you that Straight Talk is broadcasted live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Streaming provided by HighSpeedWeb.net. Brought to you by Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And Straight Talk again, broadcast from Substation 2, and they have a certain way that they do their subs, and we'll all say it together. 3, 2, 1, slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. We'll get it better next time. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Does your business need to operate more efficiently? Whether you're uploading or sharing large data files, using web-based applications, or streaming high-definition video, businesses demand more bandwidth. Comporium's business class internet with speeds up to 1 gig and dedicated Ethernet options can meet any of these needs. Keep your business growing and growing efficiently. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about business class internet options, or go online to Comporium.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-6.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Welcome back into Substation 2. My name is Matthew Cray, filling in for Manning Kimmel today. We've got Katie Durkee of NAMI Piedmont, York County. That's the National Alliance of Mentally Ill.
On mental illness.
Thank you. And when we finished last segment, we talked about bringing people together. And that is something that is important to you guys, and important enough to where you've created an initiative and a building to where you want to do that. Explain what that building is.
So we just talked about social media and isolation, and, you know, people want friends. You can't move through life without friends. This is not a solo sport. It's like we like to say that. It's not a solo sport. You like to have friends. Everybody wants friends. Everybody wants a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or they want a relationship. And so people are looking for that. But when you are isolated, when you don't feel good about yourself, it can be very difficult to make those first steps that we talked about. So we have a new location here in Rock Hill, and it does cover Lancaster, Chester, and York counties. So everybody from those counties are more than welcome to come and use the center. And we actually did a soft opening in May, but we're waiting for COVID to really be rock bottom so that we can say, yes, now the center's officially open and everybody can come in. But we took a space. It's about 1,400 square feet. It's on Oakland Avenue right by Winthrop. Very easy. It's on the bus route. It's walkable for a lot of the students at Winthrop. And so in there we have like a large screen TV. We have couches. We have puzzles. We have games. We have, we're going to have art classes, photography classes. We'll have a podcasting station in there for people to create their own podcast. And so it's a place where people can come, almost like a clubhouse. We won't be talking about mental health. We won't be talking about mental illness per se. We will just offer a safe, inclusive space for people to just be themselves, but be creative and be artistic and meet other people, connect with other people. That's what that space is really for.
And who is this targeted towards? Could someone like me just walk in, or is there a certain type of criteria?
Well, there's a membership form, okay. So we do ask that you become a member. It's a very low membership fee, and there's a very simple form to fill out, and that's really so that we can have emergency contacts and things like that. The center is focused on people with a diagnosis of mental illness or for people who have symptoms of a mental illness, diagnosed or undiagnosed, and also the families, friends, and caregivers of those people that love them. So anybody's welcome to join us because, really, let's face it, I think everybody could say they know or love somebody with some kind of mental health diagnosis or mental health symptom.
And when did this idea originate, and how did you guys go about putting it into action?
So we have always had a desire to create a safe space for people here in York County and in our Tri-County area. But it really came to a head at the end of 2019, I can't remember now because that whole year was really a blur. But we lost one of our presenters. He ended up completing a suicide, and it devastated all of us. He was a coworker, he was a friend, he was part of our community. But when the pandemic hit, we lost touch. Everybody lost touch with everybody else. And at first, you know, it was hard to get our bearings and kind of come back together. We weren't having our support groups. We weren't, you know, reaching the community the way we had been doing. And so we lost him. And we said, you know, this can't happen. This isn't okay. This is not what we want to do. We want to do this better. And so we said, what would be a good place for us? And so Rock Hill's really growing very fast, and it's very progressive here, and we like that aspect of it. It's very accessible. The buses are free, which we love as well. It means that people can get where they need to be, even if they are low income or no income. We set out to find a space. We said, okay, we need a storage room, a kitchen, a bathroom, a main room, and then maybe an office space and a little bit of other space. And the Hut came open on Oakland Avenue, and it was perfect. It was exactly what we had put out to say, this is what we're looking for. And there it was. It was an iconic building that was available. It was empty. And Oakland Avenue Presbyterian Church was very kind and very proactive. And they helped us get into that at a very reasonable price. And they connected us with people who could donate furniture and other things for the center. So it's all come together rather beautifully. But it's taken almost a year to get that.
And so that's how it came to be. And we kind of have a little bit of where it is now. Where do you guys hope to go? What are your goals when it comes to this center? Right now, of course, COVID has kind of handcuffed what you can do as a building or, again, a center. Where do you guys hope to be, and when could that change?
So if I had utopia, it would be a lot different. But for this center, we feel like this is a good pilot for this area. So we'll be having classes. It's a drop-in center. It's a place where we hope that people will be coming. They'll come and check their email. They'll come in and drop in and have a cup of coffee with us. They'll, you know, meet their friends there. And it will be one of those places that is just constantly in use. People coming and going all the time, using the space, using the facilities, setting up programs, people offering to set up programs. you know, our community, a lot of our community are unable to work. So we hope that people will come and offer to volunteer to run that photography class that I talked about, or an art class, or how to plan a budget when you have very little income, you know, those kind of things. We want it to be a very busy space, a drop-in space. And so our real hope is going forwards that we have one of these in each county where people feel safe and secure, where people can feel like this is their community, where their families, friends, themselves can come and get resources and they can hang out and, you know, just like a clubhouse. That's exactly what we want it to be.
Right. Now, I think we, like, you're really hammering home the social aspect and how much it helps. Is there any data, and if there's not, to support what social interaction or maybe having friends is the right way to phrase it, helps with people who have or struggle with a mental illness?
So I don't actually have facts and figures, I must confess. I've got all kinds of statistics for everything
just
else.
Apparently not the one I asked
for. But not the one you asked for. It's like, you had to do that. That's okay. So I will tell you that from my own personal experience, it can be very isolating, struggling and managing with a mental illness, you know, with trying to manage that. And so it's having, not being able to connect with other people is lonely. It's very lonely. And if you can't find the people that you feel comfortable with, your whole life lacks purpose, you know, because we want to interact in the community. And especially if you're unable to have, if you're unable to go to work or unable to go to school, which school refusal is very big in our community, if you have a teen or an adolescent with a mental illness, they probably are not going to go to school. They're probably not going to be able to go to college. They're not going to form those bonds that, you know, typically you would form when you were going out of the house. And so I think it's very important to create those spaces where if somebody can't go to work, can't go to school, they still have the opportunity to build those social interactions. And then everything just seems better. A problem shared is a problem halved, as they say.
Right, and I think this facility, you're providing some resources to the people who have or are struggling with the mental illness. You talked about how, you know, mental illness is an area where resources are low, and of course you won't be meeting all those resources, but you'll be providing some.
Right.
Correct?
Yes, so we will have some resources in the. What we actually do is, you know, we don't do therapy. We do support groups. We do education classes. We do crisis intervention training. We do those kind of things. But we don't actually offer any kind of therapy or anything like that. But what we do is, I keep a on our website as well. You can access this on our website. I keep a list of all the facilities in the area that are available for inpatient. I keep a list of therapists. I keep a list of community resources. I have the mental health court on there. I have the community mobile crisis unit. There is an awful lot of resources available in these three counties, but nobody's tying them all together. And so that's our goal, really, is to just keep those resources available to give out to people, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, trying to bring all those resources into one place, or one...
At least the contact information.
But yes.
Yes.
Now, I know you guys, we talked about, aren't at full capacity. You haven't fully opened. Is there any hope or desire?
There's always hope.
Indication as to when that might happen?
So, we actually are very close. I know that South Carolina is... heavily, I think they're at like 50% or something. We do work
with vaccinations.
Yes, with vaccinations. And many, many, many people in our community have been vaccinated. And of course, all the kids are back at school. So we're just really waiting for our state organization to say, yes, go ahead. You can start opening up for groups now. But we think that, you know, a couple more months, we think that we're going to be fully, you know, able to fling open the doors and welcome people in.
The approval has to come from the state level,
yes,
though, with
does.
NAMI?
Yes, yes, yes. They are our umbrella organization, and so we follow their protocols and their the things that they have in place, yeah.
And remind people of the website where they can go find more information.
It is namipiedmont.org.
NAMIpiedmont.org. Oh, yeah. And in our last 15, 20 seconds, anything we missed or that you'd like to add?
No, we have an annual walk coming up on October the 9th, and we would love everybody to join us for the walk. You can go to our website again, namipiedmont.org, and find the details.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me today, Katie. That's going to do it for our Wednesday Straight Talk program. Reminder, Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Brought to you by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant, and Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And here at Substation 2, we do things one way and one way only. You can get your fresh subs and salads, and they do it this way. 3, 2, 1, slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Thanks for joining us.
See you tomorrow.
South Carolina's most honored radio station.